Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Greetings all across the country. Glad to have you with me. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I wasn't even going to start here this morning, but I think I need to start here today with this Johnson & Johnson story. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is asking for a pause in the use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Now, I need to put this in perspective for you. Why? Six people who got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine had very rare and dangerous blood clots form. Now, here's the thing that happened. These blood clots, if you've had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, don't worry about it because the blood clots formed almost immediately after taking the vaccine. Now, I've had a friend who told me he administered doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and from one vial, every single person who got the injection seized up on him, and it was from one vial. They concluded something was wrong with the vial. They have since stopped producing from that particular plant the vaccine. But here's what you need to know. With AstraZeneca and also has a blood clotting issue, 29 of the 31 cases in Europe were women. But here's the other data point. Let me read you first the FDA tweet so that you understand what's going on here. As of April 12th, 6.8 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine have been administered in the United States. The CDC and FDA are reviewing data involving six reported U.S. cases of a rare and severe type of blood clot in individuals who received the vaccine. Right now, these adverse events appear to be extremely rare. Treatment of this specific type of blood clot is different from the treatment that might typically be administered. The CDC will convene a meeting of the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practice on Wednesday to further review these cases and assess their potential significance. FDA will review the analysis as it investigates these cases. Until that process is complete, we recommend a pause on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. This is important to ensure that the healthcare provider community is aware of the potential for these adverse events and can plan due to the unique treatment required with this type of blood clot. Let me read you the data again. There are more than 6.8 million doses administered and six total blood clots. One per million, basically. Actually, slightly less than one per million. There are a lot of people out there who are convinced that the reason for these mixed messages from the government on going back to your daily life after you get the vaccine, we know, for example, in the real world, not the lab, but in the real world, no one has gotten hospitalized or dead from COVID after getting the vaccine. There have been people who have gotten COVID after getting the vaccine. None of those people were hospitalized because of COVID. Some of those people were hospitalized, but not because of COVID. One person died, but not because of COVID. They had advanced terminal cancer and died of the cancer, not the COVID. But there's a lot of misinformation out there, and the government is not helping. The government is telling everyone, go get your vaccine, and now the government is saying, after close to 7 million doses of one of these vaccines, six people got a rare blood clot, therefore we need to stop that one vaccine. Again, it's important to remember, if you've had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, you don't need to worry because the clots form fairly quickly after administration of the vaccine. The Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines may make you feel a little bad, but they're not actually, listen, I had the Moderna one. And for 24 hours, I felt like crap. My wife, who has lung cancer and is on treatment for her lung cancer, was wiped out for about a week, week and a half from the second dose of the Moderna vaccine. Her first week, the first dose, she had a sore arm. Second dose, she was wiped out. But her doctor actually said, believe it or not, this is kind of the bizarre thing. I mean, she, so my wife, she got it from one of the local pharmacies here and volunteered to every day, they would send her a text and ask her how she was doing. The first day, I believe it was she replied with an expletive. The second day, you're trying to kill me. And the third day, I'm not dead yet. The fourth day, I'm feeling a little better. And on it went for more than a week of her testy responses. She resented like hell having taken the vaccine. I mean, she was wiped out. Now, again, my wife has lung cancer. She and Rush Limbaugh, very much the same type. It's a genetic form of lung cancer. And she's on a treatment, and she's actually doing very good. She takes a pill every day. And they caught it very early. Her cancer was caught very early. And it's genetic. Her body produces a protein that creates these tumors. And she takes a pill every day that keeps the protein from growing. Therefore, the tumors can't grow. They're kind of in stasis, some of them collapsing within her lungs. She can't get rid of it. It's genetic. But they have, for now, this pill works. So her immune system is compromised to a degree anyway. Her doctor was actually ecstatic that she reacted so badly to the vaccine, because he said it means that her immune system is producing a robust response, and that's really good. The fact that she had a reaction that bad means that her immune system is still able to whip into high gear and produce a response. He was very encouraged. She was ready to go kill the people at Moderna for having produced the vaccine, but now she's happy. We've actually been to restaurants, and that's the thing here. Is that the message should be based on the real world data, particularly from the Pfizer and Moderna one, but also the Johnson & Johnson one. The real world data should be, go live your life. You get the vaccine, go back to normal. You may get COVID, but it's going to be a very minor case. Even my wife's oncologist, who told her she had up to a 50% chance of mortality, guaranteed 25% increase in mortality risk if she got COVID, most likely a 50-50 chance of dying if she got COVID. Now says that if she gets COVID based on their data, she's going to be fine. I mean, just think about that. Think about what we're dealing with. My wife, with a form of lung cancer, had an extremely elevated risk of mortality if she got COVID. My wife has been home since February of last year. She has barely left the house. I have, since February of last year, done all the grocery shopping, pick up food in the evening for her. She doesn't go out. If we've gone out, she sat outside, and there aren't a lot of options for us around here this time of year, because where I live, the pollen is so terrible right now. Everything is yellow. Everything is yellow. And so it's hard to go out. And we finally, she actually, my wife, so when Christy got cancer, she pulled the I've got cancer card and made me buy her a Harley. And she and her group of motorcycle friends from the Harley owners group, they like to go off into the countryside and find a little meet and three and have lunch. She hasn't done it for a year. She's not been on her motorcycle in more than a year, it seems like. And she finally got together with them this past week. And they went to some hole-in-the-wall restaurant for a catfish fry. And it was her first time out of the house. Her mood changed so dramatically. Just being able to be out of the house, being able to be on her motorcycle, be back with her friends. Life got back to normal for her. She wore a mask when she went in. She took it off when she sat down to eat. She's still very cautious about that. We've now gone inside restaurants. But she's able to do that now because she's had the vaccine. And yet Dr. Fauci and the federal government are like, no, you can't do that. No, you got to wear your mask. You got to socially distance. You got to wash your hands. You got to stay away from people who aren't vaccinated. But the real world data suggests otherwise. The real world data suggests even if you get COVID, it's not going to be a bad case. And it's going to be a weakened case that even if you spread it to other people, they're not going to be. Well, and if you get everybody vaccinated as quickly as you can, you're going to be better off. But the message now is, well, don't use Johnson & Johnson. Out of almost 7 million people, 6 got a blood clot. We got to pause on this one. And if you take the others, you can't go back to normal. Now, there are a lot of people who say the reason the government is doing this is because the government wants to control us and not give up that control. I would submit to you the government already thinks they do control us. And the better answer here is not that the government wants to use this virus to control us, but that the government is risk averse at this point. Never confuse incompetence for malfeasance and malevolent nature. The government is incompetent when it comes to these things. The bureaucrats, like Dr. Fauci, who is doing more harm than good. Dr. Fauci is a government bureaucrat. Dr. Fauci has a fiefdom. And Dr. Fauci, within his fiefdom, is the god of all that he creates. And what he says goes. And to some degree, Dr. Fauci, by letting go, is eroding the borders of his fiefdom and passing off the care of his people to other people. And the net result there is hyper-caution. And in being hyper-cautious, he's unwilling to allow you to live your life, not that he can really stop you, not because he's malevolent or he wants to control you, but because he wants to control his fiefdom. And right now, you're in his designated area of care. The result of all of this, on top of the layers of the unknown, and let's be honest and real here, there are lots of unknowns about the virus. But the result is as well, between the unknowns and the fiefdoms and the government empowerment and the government incompetence, there's an overall lack of risk-taking. The government did a good job with Operation Warp Speed, thanks to Donald Trump, by the way, and took risks to get vaccines out into the public under emergency orders rapidly, and they're remarkable. Yes, 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 in lab tests where you're giving people super doses of this vaccine, you've got a 5% chance of getting the vaccine. You have a 0% chance of dying from COVID after you've been vaccinated. You have a 0% chance of overwhelming hospitals after you've been vaccinated. But there's still this risk. There's still this chance. There's still this concern. And the government lacks the ability to take risks. Bureaucrats are not empowered to be risk takers. And when we outsource this to public health officials who are ultimately careerist bureaucrats, they don't want you to take risks, not because of their malevolence, not because they're wanting to control you, but because they are incapable of accurately assessing risk as bureaucrats. In the private sector, we all make risks. Do I get this loan or do I get that loan? If I get this loan, will I be able to meet these bill obligations? If I send my kids to this school, what sort of education will they get? How will it set them up for the future? It's all about risk-taking. It's all about compromise. It's all about probabilities. The government doesn't do that well anymore. I don't know that the government has ever done that well. But right now, on a supposed war footing for the vaccine, the government is totally incompetent at risk-taking, which is why the approach in places like Texas and Georgia and Florida and Arizona is so much better than the like places in New York and in New Jersey and Michigan, because those states have all along been very forthright with what the risks were and then told you, go live your life. Let me just take Georgia as an example here with Brian Kemp. Remember, he was attacked by President Trump for reopening Georgia sooner than every other state. And what people around the country don't know about him is he flew around the state constantly and drove the state constantly telling people, wear a mask. I'm not going to mandate it, but wear a mask. Wash your hands. Keep your distance. Here's what we know about the virus. And he went to every community in the state. He said, here's what we know right now about the virus. And here's what we think right now you should do. And as the advice changed based on knowledge of the virus, he went around the state and changed the advice. He said, okay, now we know this, so do this. But he went around the state and told the people, he said, I'm not going to shut you down. I'm not going to shut down your business. Who am I, a government official, to tell you your business isn't essential? I'm not going to mandate a mask. but I'm going to keep you educated so you can make your decisions. And we've seen this around the country, in Florida, in Georgia, in South Carolina, in a lot of southern states that are rugged individualists, the government realizing we can't demand you do these things, so we're going to keep you educated so you can make the risk assessment. Right now, our government bureaucrats believe they should make the risk assessment for us, and we're not going to get over this pandemic, and we're not going to get through it to a new normal as long as we continue to outsource ourselves our ability to think critically and make risks to the government. And ultimately, it is on us and on not on them. Why? Because they can't lock you in your house. You've locked yourself in your house at this point. For a month, while hospitals built up resources, it may have made up sense. But right now, use common sense, get the vaccine, and then go live your life. That should be the message. I want everybody to be able to go back out to your local watering hole and grab a beer, not have to worry about a mask or a virus. And the way to do that, go get the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine, get both rounds, and go live your life. And stop listening to government talking heads. Hi there, it is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, if you would like to be a part of the program, is 877-97-ERIC, E-R-I-C-K, 877-973-7425. Now, man, I'm just shaking everything up today. At the bottom of the hour, this hour, Matt Schaefer is going to join me. Matt Schaefer is a state representative in Texas, and he is in the House of Representatives there, where the House in Texas is about to consider election reform. And the same thing that happened in Georgia is now happening in Texas. Now, here's the thing you got to understand in Texas is that Donald Trump and the GOP won. In fact, they did way better than everybody thought. Remember 2018, everybody's like, oh, Texas! Texas is going to turn blue! It didn't happen. In fact, in 2020, remember all the hand-wringing, oh, Joe Biden might spend money in Texas. Joe Biden, he's giving Donald Trump a run. It's the Latino vote in Texas. It's going to go for Joe Biden. Actually, it went for Donald Trump pretty significantly. The border counties in Texas, having been overwhelmingly Democrat, swung heavily to Donald Trump and the GOP. Turns out law and order was a big issue there. And now this border crisis that Joe Biden has created by getting rid of Donald Trump's regulations is turning against them. Well, Texas had some problems in the election. They had problems very much like in Georgia, where in Georgia, for example, The whole Karen feeding of voters at the polls, it's always been against the law, but local Democratic officials are saying, well, they mentioned things of value you couldn't give to voters within 150 feet. A slice of pizza isn't of value. It's taking care of the voters. So that's why the legislature had to go clarify and say, no, actually, that's considered giving an inducement to a voter to vote within 150 feet of the polls. You can't electioneer. Texas very similarly had local Democrats in different counties doing very similar things, including drive-through 24-hour voting, basically treating it like a 24-hour McDonald's. You're going through and cast your ballot. It's stuff you're not supposed to do because of voter integrity and election integrity. No one in Texas argues that the vote in Texas was stolen, unlike in Georgia. But they clearly had some problems because Democrats were taking very liberal readings of laws they shouldn't do. So the Texas legislature is having to get involved and having to clarify that some of the things Democrats did claiming laws were vague, they got to beef up. So naturally, here comes Apple and Amazon and Dell and other major corporations and Black Lives Matter and the NCAA and the NAACP and everyone else telling Texas they're racist, bigoted, terrible, awful, and they're going to be punished for daring to clean up their election laws. It has made it through the Texas Senate. It's now in the Texas House. And I figure there's no better way to get an update than from a member of the Texas House on what is up with Texas and the corporate pushback about all of this as corporations go woke. So stick around when we come back. I'm going to talk to Matt Schaefer. He will know what's going on in the Texas legislature because this is going to be a national story. There are 23 states and the wokes are coming for all of them doing this election reform. Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I have asked State Representative Matt Schaefer from Tyler, Texas, to join me this morning because Texas is going through the election reform process that Georgia went through. There are 23 states that are considering election reform bills, including states like California, which you will notice isn't getting national media attention. And every single one of the Republican states considering any level of election reform, no matter how reasonable, are seeing corporate and woke protests against them. Georgia started it, and now the fight has moved to Texas. And Matt Schaefer, I wanted to get him here. He joins me by phone. Matt, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for being able to do this. So what's the latest in Texas with the election reform measure?
Election integrity is a top priority for Republicans. We have legislation that is moving through the process, and we're going to get it done. You know, big tech, these big corporations, you know, them and the Democratic Party have just become one big self-licking ice cream cone. And all this stuff that they're doing now to threaten the state of Texas is going to backfire. Because I can tell you, myself and my colleagues in the Republican caucus, we are not intimidated one bit.
Well, and you know, it would be great. Let's delve into some of the specifics here, because one of them comes from Harris County, which is Houston, where you had local officials were deciding essentially to send every single registered voter an absentee ballot application, even if they hadn't requested one. You've got other situations where people were showing up and volunteering to help senior citizens cast their vote, even if they had no relationship to them, and local officials turned a blind eye. You had the Austin city government doing the typical Austin stuff. My goodness, that place is becoming the San Francisco of Texas. And all these local election officials then using local Democratic judges to bless them. And at least in the Harris County situation, if I understand it right, the Texas Supreme Court had to intervene and say, you can't send every single person an absentee ballot because that's against the law. And yet the Democrats keep trying to do this stuff.
That's right. One of the things that the Democrat-controlled election officials in Houston and Harris County want to do is just kind of do their own thing, right? They want to say, well, we think we can do it, and so we're going to do it. So one aspect of the bill that's moving through the House is going to make sure that we have a uniform and consistent voting process all over the state. And local election officials are not going to be able to just say, you know what, we're going to go it alone and we're going to try something that's not found in state law. And we know why they want to do it. They want to tip the balance in favor of Democrat voters.
Yeah. Now, if I understand right, because I don't live there, but I think anyone created in the image of God understands that Texas is God's country, so you pay attention to it. That you used to have vote by party, and in 2018, a lot of good people lost because Democratic activists were just choosing to vote straight Democrat, and now that's done away with, and that to some degree has helped bring more reasonableness back to some of the candidates in Texas.
Yes, we got rid of straight ticket voting in the state of Texas, and I voted in favor of that change. And one of the reasons that I like it, Eric, is just one for a civics reason. It forces a voter to go from president all the way down to a little emergency services district or a bottom of the ballot city council and see each name and each position on the ballot, where sometimes that voter may not even realize that position exists. And so when they come into the poll, they're going to at least know that there is some government entity that has an influence on their life and they need to weigh in on it.
Now, let me ask you about the corporate influence, because Michael Dell has now come out. So again, in Georgia, we had Delta and Coca-Cola and Home Depot come out. Now you've got Amazon, Apple, Dell, and other companies coming out in Texas. And one of the things I find hilarious is Democrats who have blasted corporations for speaking up in the past on, for example, fiscal regulatory issues are suddenly singing their praises for speaking up for Democratic positions on election reform. And are you guys worried at all about any of the potential economic fallout from pursuing this legislation?
No, because I think these corporations are going to find out that their customers don't agree with them and that average Texans want election integrity measures passed. you know, there is a lot of hypocrisy going on here. They have no trouble doing business in China or Delta, mm-hmm. flying to places like Hong Kong, where we know that real human rights abuses are taking place, where real abuses of the electoral process are taking place. So there's a lot of hypocrisy. And all of these corporations have dozens and dozens of high-paid lobbyists that roam the hallways here in the Capitol, making sure that their favored tax breaks stay in place or asking for new ones. And not once did they come by and visit with lawmakers before these bills started moving and say, you know, we're really concerned about these election integrity bills. There's a lot of hypocrisy. This is just corporations going woke, mm-hmm. doing work and bidding for the Biden-Harris administration and the Democrat Party. It's as plain as day. Look, the Democrats want open borders and loose elections.
Right.
And in my mind, those things go together. They mm-hmm. really do. They see that the people that are pouring across the border in the state of Texas are future voters. And they want loose elections. They really don't want the state of Texas to come down and clamp down on local election administrators who are bending the rules.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned open borders, and if you don't mind me shifting gears with you, and I realize you're in Tyler, which is the part of Texas that still has trees. You know, being a native of Louisiana, my mom has a ton of family that moved to Houston, and she always swore that Houston was the furthest west she could move because she still had trees there. and you get down into South Texas, though, they're hard to find. But what's really easy to find are a lot of people across the border. Chip Roy, the congressman from down in South Texas, is a longtime friend of mine, and twice now, he's been at the border doing interviews as illegal aliens were trying to cross the border. What is this overall? And again, I realize where you are in Texas is a great deal away from the border, but what's this doing to the resources in Texas right now?
It's going to put a tremendous strain on our foster care system. That's not getting a lot of attention in the media, but we always have challenges with our foster care system. You know, finding enough families to take care of these children. But we are now adding tremendous pressure on the foster care system, not to mention our public schools. The public schools are required by law to bring these students in, to help them learn English, teach them math, to make sure they have meals to eat while they're there. And we have to hire new teachers. And, you know, it's hard to do a word problem in math if you can't read.
Right.
And if English is your second language, it's a challenge for our public schools. So this is a huge problem. If people in the rest of the country don't realize, I mean, it's a federal responsibility, but it is a state of Texas problem that we deal with every day. I'd love to buy a bunch of bus tickets and hotel rooms in San Francisco and say, welcome to San Francisco. Take on some of this burden that we deal with every day. And I will tell you, I think it's going to backfire on the Democrats. This is not good for Democrats in the state of Texas. Many of those counties, several of those counties right on the border that are traditionally Democrat voted for Trump.
Right.
They voted for Trump on the border. Donald Trump was so racist, Eric, so racist mm-hmm. that he did better with minorities than he did the first election.
Yeah, you know, I was actually going to ask you that as my next question, that it was remarkable to me. Some of those counties down there went 60-40 Hillary Clinton against Donald Trump, and 4 years later, 60-40 Trump against Biden. And the law and order and the border issues seem to be what really flipped those people when they've been surveyed. And now suddenly the Biden administration comes in and says, well, we're going to undo every single thing Donald Trump did at the border. And now look what happened.
If you live on the border, you don't want chaos in your community. You don't want human trafficking of people from El Salvador and Guatemala and Honduras pouring through your neighborhoods, coming across the river and rattling your doors and your windows at night to see if they can get in. These are real issues. The drugs that are coming through, the human trafficking, these people are basically being sold. They are commodities to the cartels down there. And it's a horrible situation. And whatever you're hearing on Fox News or listening to on the radio, it's just as bad or worse. Trust me. This is a serious problem. And the Democrats really have a problem on their hands, but it's not going to change until the policies are changed. And I don't see Joe Biden changing the policies.
No, I don't see him doing that either, which is remarkable looking at even when the Washington Post now is admitting that the Trump policy of keeping people in Central America seeking amnesty worked well. It's flabbergasting to see. One last question for you. My wife is in the other room and she's listening to us talk. My wife loves Austin, Texas. She's a quilter. She loves you. In fact, there's a place outside of Tyler with some lady who makes fabric that she loves. What's that place called? Bascom, Texas. And But she loves Austin and the quilting. And she just wants to know, what are you people in the legislature going to do to get the hippies from stopping ruining the capital of Texas with the tent cities and all?
Well, when my friends talk about secession, I say, okay, but what do we do with Austin? You know? So every time I am done with session and I jump in the truck and I call my dad, I say, Dad, I'm in the truck headed back to Texas. So Austin is a great place to visit, but it's got some real challenges right now. We hope the people that are moving here from California don't bring their values with them.
Yeah, well, we've got that problem in Atlanta where I am. The woke hipsters who move in from California for these tech companies and can't imagine living in a democratic republic that isn't socialist. So, listen, I appreciate you spending some time with me. This has been highly educational. Really, really do appreciate it.
Eric, thanks so much for having me, and thanks for doing what you're doing.
Absolutely. Thank you. Matt Schaefer, state representative over in Tyler, Texas. Knows his stuff, and glad to have him. Now, I can tell you, the committee in the Texas House has moved forward with the election reform measure. Only the Republicans voted for it. It's amazing watching the media coverage in Texas, even compared to what happened in Georgia. It's like they've got their talking points in order now, and they are vehemently, vehemently opposed to this, and the media now is walking in lockstep against the Texas reforms. When what they leave out, and this is really, really important, is I know because I talk to a lot of friends of mine, members of Congress, members of the state legislature in Texas, who I've gotten to know over the years, who say very much like in Georgia, it's the response to the election reform package there is because Democrats changed the rules of the election in the middle of the election. And there's well-settled precedent. You can't do that. And yet they were trying to do it. And the Texas Supreme Court had to constantly intervene and stop them from changing the rules in the middle of the election. And they were changing the rules by saying that the rules were very vague. So all the Texas legislature is doing is clarifying the things the Democrats claim were vague aren't vague. And that the things the Democrats try to do to get around them are now heightened and explained more clearly in the law so that they can't do it. But you literally in Harris County, Texas, and you need to understand this, Harris County is the Houston area. It had been fairly Republican. It got progressive in the Interior Corps. You had that mayor who persecuted churches down there. But when in 2018, the state kind of flipped by Democrats checking party line voting, they all voted Democrat and wiped out a lot of people, even Democrats. I remember the night of that election laughing, watching progressives say they couldn't believe so-and-so lost. They love the guy. Well, it's because that guy was actually a Republican and they had no idea. And now the Democrats in Harris County literally decided to send out absentee ballot applications to every single registered voter, even though Texas law says you can't. They did it with the blessing of a local judge, and the Texas Supreme Court said, nope, you can't do that. And so the legislature has to clarify this stuff. And somehow they're the bad guys. But you will notice that after the Georgia fight, now headed into the Texas reform package. By the way, this heads to Wisconsin next. The Wisconsin legislature is doing election reform up there, fixing some of the things Democrats try to do up there. But in Texas now, the corporations, the NCAA, the NAACP, the Democrats, the wokes, they're all in lockstep, and they got the media giving the Democrat talking points nationwide, and they're leaving out all the little details that Matt Schaefer and I have just pointed out to you as to why this is necessary. You got to come here for the truth. Rocco's in Jasper, Georgia is having their first annual Rockin' Affair to celebrate reopening, warm weather, getting outside. People have gotten vaccinated. They can all hang out in person. They're looking for vendors. Anywhere you're listening to my voice, if you're a vendor and you want to show up for a mass gathering of people, it's going to be free to the public. Go to roccosjasper.com. You can go to their Facebook page. They've got Reformation Brewery. They got Coca-Cola. They got a lot of partners partnering with them to make this event happen. And if you're a vendor, they want your help as well. They want to give you the opportunity with a mass gathering of people in the state of Georgia, celebrating the warm weather, celebrating spring, celebrating just being back to normal as we can possibly get. They want your help. Go to roccosjasper.com and check them out. This event is going to be May 1st and 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's going to be food. There's going to be music. There's going to be children. By the way, if you're in the public and you want to go up to beautiful North Georgia, hang out at Rocco's. Bikers are welcome, by the way. It's biker friendly. So go to roccosjasper.com. If you're a vendor, sign up, show your wares, show your goods, show your services, be with people. I need to say, the idea of being able to get back to people. So Rome, Georgia is one of the prettiest cities in America. In fact, if you've ever seen the Dead Poets Society, to give you a sense of just how beautiful Rome, Georgia is, Dead Poets Society was filmed at Berry College. It's gorgeous up there. And I've got some listeners, the show is on in Rome, and I got some listeners who've been dying to get me up there for bourbon and cigars, and I'm ready to go now. I've been vaccinated. I'm ready to get out of the house. I want to get around the country and start traveling as we start picking up affiliates and just hanging out with people. Going out, grab a beer, hang out, have a cigar. A buddy of mine sent me a box of cigars the other day. I've got to find a giant humidor because my cigar collection, I don't actually smoke cigars constantly. Like, I got Philip who works for me. He's got like multiple cigars a day. And he's half my age and looks twice as old as me, probably from the cigars. But nonetheless, it's not a regular habit, but people keep sending me boxes of really, really nice cigars. And I'm afraid they're going to get ruined. I've got to find them. Like surely there's some craftsman out there who can build a nice. I don't have the money for it, though. That's the problem. I got to find a big humidor. I had to borrow one of Philip's humidors to be able to fit all these cigars. The Davidoff folks and the Fuentes and the Cohiba people and then others sending me stuff. But it'll be nice to get out in the public again. That's why it's so maddening to me that the government is muddling the message on the vaccine so much. I mean, isn't a more compelling message to say, if you get the vaccine, you don't have to wear the mask anymore. If you get the vaccine, you can have people to your house. We had people at our house the other day for the first time in a year. I actually fired up the smoker, smoked a Boston butt, made mac and cheese. My wife has this incredible baked bean recipe. I'll have to send out that recipe at some point. But we had a great time. We actually had live human beings in our house, which we have not done since February of last year. February of last year. And we had people at our house. We actually had to stay up and do dishes. It was the most profound thing. We didn't even use paper plates. Your life can go back to normal with the vaccine. Now, I realize there are people who are hesitant to take the vaccine. I've got friends of mine who refuse to take it, and that's fine. But if the majority of people get the vaccine, those who have chosen not to get the vaccine, they're not going to have to worry about overwhelmed hospitals if they get the virus. And in fact, their chance of getting the virus goes down the more other people get the vaccine. I just don't understand why the government is doing this, except for the fact that the government is well and truly incompetent. And that's something we all need to internalize here. The government bureaucracy is adverse to taking risks. So many people, this is why, by the way, government conspiracies aren't really a thing necessarily. Because one, they can't keep a secret in the government. Everybody leaks. And two, they're too incompetent to pull off a conspiracy. So many people view like the QAnon stuff. I'm sorry, but the government is not competent enough to run a pool of satanic child pedophiles through the CIA. They're just not, the CIA itself is not competent enough to do that. Once you understand that it's incompetence and not malevolence, it all starts to make sense. But we've got to talk about malevolence when we come back. The NCAA has decided any state that cracks down on transgender athletes in sports, boys and girls teams is really what this is about. If you don't want a boy on a girls team and your state passes a law to protect girls sports, the NCAA is going to punish your state and harm it economically. This is the malevolence of the wokes. And we need to talk about the malevolence of the wokes and the NCAA when we come back right here on the Eric Erickson Show. We'll take your phone calls as well, 877-973-7425.